Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I appreciate it. Matthew chapter number 16, and I want to give you one verse today and just a simple little thought here, and then we'll go home and come back this evening for a good time in the Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter number 16, let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter number 16. And thank you for being in church this morning. Amen. There's a lot of other places you could have been, but I appreciate you being faithful this morning. Amen. You ought to be here. Somebody say amen right there, but I appreciate you being here also. Bible said in verse number 24, just one simple verse, the Bible said this, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." It's a short verse. Let's read it again. "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I want to preach to you on this thought for just a little while this morning. The mandate for serving God. The mandate for serving God. Father, I love you today and I thank you for being good to us. I thank you, God, for your blessings on our life. I thank you, God, for the rain that you've blessed us with this week. I thank you, God, for the sun that's beginning to poke out outside. God, thank you for the reminder that the rain won't always be and the storm won't always last, that the sun will shine again one day. God, as we've read the text this morning, God, from our precious Bible, I pray, God, that it wouldn't just be words on a page today. But I pray, God, that as we attempt to preach your word this morning, that it would find a lodging place in the hearts of the hearers. God, you said your word would not return void. So, God, what I say today don't really matter unless it's backed up by the word of God. So, God, I pray that you'd help me to preach your word this morning, God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, Father, to find our place in an altar and determine that by the grace of God, we're going to serve you, let come what may. God, if there's any here lost today, I pray, God, that you'd save them today. God, thank you for answered prayers. God, thank you, Lord, for letting Brother Fred and Miss Beverly be here today. God, thank you, Lord, for the testimony to answered prayers that's been told to me today. God, thank you for a church that wants to pray. God, I pray again that you'd help us today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to preach to you just a little while out of these verses on the mandate for serving the Lord this morning. As I was preparing this week to preach today, I really believe in all of my heart, and I may be dead wrong on this, but I don't think I am. I really believe in all of my heart that there is a lot of saved people sitting in the church today. I really believe that, and I do know that there's some here that's not saved. By your own testimony, you've never been saved by the grace of God. And can I say something to you? You need to get saved today. Amen. That is the greatest choice that you'll ever make. But for a few minutes this morning, I want to preach to you that is the saved, that there's always an application to the lost from that. But I want to talk to you about serving God today. Again, I really believe that there's some people here today that if the Lord was to come back today, you would go to heaven. I believe that you're saved. You've given me your testimony. Well, I want to ask you a question today. How's your service for God? What are you doing for God today? You've heard me make this statement many times, and my dad said it. Matter of fact, I believe that it was Lester Roloff that first said it, but only one life will soon be passed, and all that's done for Christ is all that'll last. In other words, what I accomplished in fleshly things today, in the world's view today, will matter nothing when I stand before God. It'll not matter how much money I've made. It'll not matter what my prestige in this world was. The only thing that will matter when I stand before a thrice holy God one day is what I've done for Him. How is your service to God today? Many people get saved, and that's as far as they ever go in their service to God. They're saved. They know they're saved. And can I take it a step further? They even go to church on a regular basis. But hear me and hear me well. Serving God is more than going to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. They may even put their tithe in an offering plate. Can I say something to you? That's scriptural today. I believe that you ought to. But serving God is more than putting your tithe in an offering plate. They may even bring a snack for the kids on Wednesday night. But serving God is way more than that. How is your service to God today? What are you doing for the cause of Christ today? It don't matter what we may think that we've been through. At the end of the day, God has blessed each and every one of us. He's been way better to us than we deserve. The only thing we deserve today is to die and go to a devil's hell. But God, in His loving kindness, saw fit to send His Son to die for our sins. He has saved us. He has blessed us. He has been good to us. And the least thing I can do is serve Him in return. So there's a mandate for serving Him. Let me give you four things. We'll stay in the text this morning and go home. Number one, I want you to see this. I want you to see the decision that is involved. The decision that is involved. Jesus said, then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after Me. You see, there's a big word at the beginning of that statement. It's not but two letters, but boy, it's a big word. It's the word if. Matter of fact, we could trace it throughout Scripture, and another verse that has that in it is this: if My people, which are called by My name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek My face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and heal their land. You see, there is a decision that is involved in serving Jesus. You made a decision to get saved, but you've also got to make a decision. Man, I'm going to sell out lock, stock, and barrel, and I'm going to serve the Lord. There's a decision that is involved. You've heard me make this statement before. Every choice has a consequence. Every choice that we make in our life has a consequence that goes with it. The greatest example I think that I could give on that is a Brother Bailey sitting over here today. The day that Brother Bailey decided that it would be a good idea to get on a snow sled and go off the bank back here when the grading was completely different than what it is now. And at the bottom of that bank, we had built us a big ramp, and Brother Bailey thought it was a good idea that night to go off of that sled, on that sled, off of that bank. It had iced over. Man, it was cold. And when you get something that big moving down something on a sled that small, something's going to happen. And it did. I got the video to show it. Brother Bailey, whenever he hit that ramp, his feet went straight up in the air. I've never seen him completely vertical upside down. That's exactly, wasn't it, Brother Josh? I got the video to prove it. He was completely upside down, and the first thing that hit was his head. And when his head hit, his feet touched behind his head. It was pretty awesome, man. I didn't know he had moves like that, and he didn't either. And he jumped up. I went running down the hill to him. And I thought, he's dead. Man, he has broke his neck. He is dead. And he jumped up and he was going, huh, 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 huh. And I said, Bailey, are you okay? Huh, huh. I said, what's wrong with you? Huh, huh. And he went like that one more time and he said, it knocked the breath out of me. I was trying to get my breath back. There was a consequence that followed the choice that he made. Every choice that we have in our life has a consequence to it. And can I say something to you today? I've made some pretty dumb choices along the way, and I believe that you could agree that you have too. But the greatest choice that I've ever made and the greatest decision that I ever made was the night that I got saved by the grace of God. And boy, then there come that day that my wife and I said, Lord, here's all of us. It don't matter where it's at. It don't matter what you want us to do. God, here's my life. I give my life to you. Can I say there's been some consequences under that choice? I've saw my kids get saved. I've saw families put back together. I've saw lives changed. Why? Because I made a choice one day. I'm going to serve God if there's a decision that's got to be made. What did Joshua say in chapter 24? He said, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. You got to make a decision. You know, it's interesting that Joshua says his family's going to serve God. But before he says that, he said, but as for me. You see, sir, your family will never serve God to the capacity that they need to until you step up first and serve God. I got one amen right there. I needed more than that, and I would have moved on. So let me just back up and say that again. Your family will never serve God until you, as the man of your home, decides that you're going to lead the home, that you're going to be a godly husband. You know what? There's great husbands in here. You work for your family. You supply the need of your family. But how are you doing on the spiritual side of things? You see, we're going to stand before God one day. The Bible said this in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to stand before God. And if we're saved, we'll give an account to God. Not for our sin, thank God. It's under the blood, but we will give an account for our service to God. What have we done for Him? What have we done for Him? So number one, there's a decision. There's a decision involved in this. If my people, or if any man will come after me, there's a decision today. You know what you're going to do today? You're going to make a decision whether or not to sell out and serve God. I said this morning, I believe this in all of my heart. We've got some good people sitting here. We really do. We really do. I believe we got some saved people sitting here. But boy, what would happen if every person decided today, you know what? I'm going to make the choice. I'm lock, stock, and barrel. I'm tired of messing around. I'm not going to do it and back up from it, man. With the help of God, me and my family today, we're selling out. We're selling out. It's all of Him. Number one, there is the decision that's involved. Number two, watch this. There is the denial that's involved. What did He say? Here's what He said. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, watch this, let him deny himself. Let him, what? Deny himself. That word deny means this, to disown, to refuse to grant. To disown or to refuse to grant. You know what He said? Here's what He said. He said, you're going to have to make a decision. That decision is going to lead to a denial. What is the denial? The denial is this, that we deny ourselves. You remember Jesus in Luke chapter number 22 was praying in the garden. And here's what Jesus said as He was praying. He talks about His will. And then He says this, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You know what He said? He says this to God that night, I'm not interested in what I want. I'm interested in what you want. There has to come a day in our life, church, where we decide that we're going to deny ourselves. You know what yourself's going to tell you to do tonight? It's going to tell you to stay home. You know what yourself told you to do this morning when we had Sunday school at 10 o'clock? To stay home. Anybody hearing the preacher this morning? Why, how do we overcome that? There's a decision that is made that we deny ourselves. I thought about what the Bible says. The Bible says that we are bought with a price, therefore glorify God. You see, the day I got saved, I'm no longer mine. I no longer own me. You said, preacher, that don't make a lick of sense. No, that makes a lot of sense. I don't own me today. You see, I've been bought by somebody else. Somebody else saw something in me and decided to pay a price for me. And can I just say something? That price was the greatest of all prices. You know what that price was? That price was death. Jesus saw enough in me. Oh, you may say I'm nothing, but He says I'm something. Oh, yes, I understand what we say sometimes. And I say it too, that we're nobody. Oh, but hear me and hear me well. We really are somebody. Why? Because Jesus purchased us. I've been made the righteousness of Christ. I've got access to God. And in that, I must wake up every day and decide that I'm going to deny myself. It's not my will. You know what? You'll be tired this evening. But you need to deny yourself. You know what? Now stay with me this morning, okay? Just stay with me a minute. We'll get done. You'll get to hear somebody else tonight. Somebody will show up at your house just for time to go to church. Well, preacher, I just can't run company off. I'm not going to run them off either. But I'm going to say something like this. If you're going to visit with me, you're going to have to visit with me down at the church house. Well, I got about three amens. If I'd have got six, I'd have moved on. If you're going to visit with me, you got to visit with me down at the church house. See, we go to church around our house. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, revival night. Unless one of us is sick and about to die or puking our guts out, we go into the house of God. You say, but preacher, that's my time to spend with this, and that's my time to spend with the Lord. You see, if we're really going to sell out in this thing, church, if we're really going to give Him everything, there has to be a time of denying in our life. Well, I'm just going to tell you, so I'm going to tell you how I feel about this. You know, a lot of times when we get to talking about the way we feel, it's usually some pretty dumb things come out of our mouth. Hello, Tokyo. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just being honest with you. We get our feelings worked up and our emotions worked up, and the best thing we can do is deny ourselves. Make a decision to seek the face of God before we open our mouth. Denying ourselves. Hey, if we're going to sell out, what is that? It's to disown. We disown ourselves. I no longer own me. I've been bought by somebody else. Can I just say it this way? If I went to Southland Transportation in the morning and worked for Brother Ramsey, while I'm there to do what He tells me to do. Why? Because at the moment I'm not mine, I'm His. Are you with me today? Are you? If I was to, Brother Blake sitting back there, if I was to go to Aspen and work for him tomorrow, I'm going to ask him to let me flag traffic. And if he says no, you're going to drag brush. You know what? For me to be in fellowship with him and to be right with him, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit. I'm going to drag brush. Why? Because I'm responsible to him. Can I just say something to you? This morning when I woke up, I was responsible to Him. He's the one that owns me. Everything I do today, I need to push my feelings out of the way and deny myself and follow Him. Watch this. There's a decision. Number two, there's a denial involved. But number three, here's where the rubber meets the road. There is a death involved. A death. What did He say? He said this. He said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, watch this, and take up his cross. And take up his cross. Some preachers preach that, and I'm not saying they're wrong. I think that there is a practical application that can be made about the burdens that we bear, and we pick our burdens up and carry our burdens. I think there's a practical application. But the context of that, I believe, is Calvary. I believe the contextual view of that is crucifixion. I really believe that. When you read what's going on, I don't have time to go into it. I believe he's dealing with death. You see, to the Romans, the cross was a picture of death. To the Romans, the cross was death. Matter of fact, crucifixion to the Romans was just about a daily thing. They saw the people hanging on the sides of the road crucified. You say, well, preacher, are you saying that I've got to drive myself to a cross and die? Not physically, but emotionally, spiritually, and mentally, yes. We got to die to what we want. We got to die to our desires. Are you hearing me today? He said, if you're really going to serve me, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. You better die to that. You better die to that. And tell you what you're going to have to do this afternoon. I'm about done. I hope you're getting what I'm preaching to you. I just want to help you. You tell you what you're going to have to do this afternoon? You're going to have to die to yourself. You can say, well, you know what, I'm going to make a decision and I'm going to deny it. But when the rubber meets the road, you're going to have to crucify yourself. You're going to have to die to yourself. I thought about the Bible. Here's what the Bible said. The Bible said this, Galatians chapter number 6, or Galatians chapter number 2, verse number 20. He said, I am crucified with Christ. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You know what he's saying? Here's what he said. I die to my wants. I die to my desires. I die to my wants, and I raise in Christ. Here's what he said in Romans chapter number 6, verse number 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. What's he saying? He's saying this, that we die to that. What did he say in Romans chapter number 12, verse number 1? He said that I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present yourself a living sacrifice. What did he talk about just prior to that? He said, by the mercies of God. He said, don't forget it's the mercies of God that you are what you are today. And when we look at how good he is, we present ourselves a living sacrifice to God. What is it? It's that we die to ourselves. That sacrifice right there immediately. You that knows your Bible, your mind probably runs back to the Old Testament, the sacrifice that was made on the altar. For that sacrifice to be made on the altar, it had to die. They burned it up on the altar and moved on to the next sacrifice. But he said that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. So how do we die to self every day? Watch this. We wake up every morning, and before we get out of the bed, we go, God, I'm yours today. And whatever it is that you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do. Thank you for waking me up. When we get ready and we look at ourselves in the mirror, we're looking at our biggest problem of the day. And I don't have none of y'all's pictures taped up on my mirror. And my wife is not standing beside of me, nor my kids. When I look in the mirror, Brother Randy, I look at my biggest problem that I'm going to deal with that day. It's me. See, we can point our fingers at everybody else. Well, they done this and they done that and they done this. And if I was a preacher, I'd do this. If I was a pastor, I'd do this and I'd do this and I'd do. Well, you're not. God chose to put me here. But I'm going to tell you what you are going to give an account for, the way that you support and love and back the man of God. You see, I'm not your enemy. Your biggest enemy is you. Your wife is not your enemy. Your biggest enemy is you. Your husband is not your enemy. Your biggest enemy is you. Is anybody hearing a preacher this morning? Your biggest enemy is yourself. How many times have we made this statement? I can't believe I let myself do that. I can't believe I let myself say that. I can't believe I let myself fly off the handle like that. You know what you're doing? You're saying, you know what, old Barker, what he's preaching up there, it's right. I am my biggest enemy. We have to every day decide we're going to live a life on the altar. That's the reason he said pray without ceasing. I've just come to know this. It's hard to talk about the person you're praying about. Hard to run down the man of God when you're praying for him. Hello, Tokyo. It's hard to run down Brother Matt when you're praying for him. It's hard to run down Brother Robert, whether you're praying for him or not. But it's hard to run down Brother Robert when you're praying for him. Hey, young people, you got a new youth leader that God's blessed us with. Now, I'm telling you something, man, they've already stepped up and are doing a great job, and they're going to continue to. But I want to tell you something. You're going to have to learn that he's your friend, and you're going to have to die to yourself and love him and love her. You say, preacher, what do you say? We die to ourselves. You know what they're going to do? They're going to say some things, and some of you young people are going to go, I just don't know about that. It's going to be hard to talk about him when you're praying for him. Can I take it a step further? You adults, if you're not careful, jealousy will swell up inside of you because somebody from outside the church is now part of the church and leading our youth group. You know what you need to do? You need to die to your feelings. You need to die to yourself. God sent us the right person. I believe that in all of my heart. You say, preacher, what are you saying? We got to die to ourselves. We got to die to ourselves. We got to die to ourselves. You know how many times we have to die to ourselves? Every day of our life. Every day of our life. Watch this. If we're going to serve him wholehearted, there's a decision involved. There's a denial involved. There's a death involved. But then number four, and I'm done. What did he say? And follow me. There's a devotion that is involved. That word follow means this, listen to this, to go after or behind, to walk, ride, or move behind, but in the same direction. Can I say that again? It's to go after or behind, to walk, ride, or move behind, but in the same direction. You see, when you follow somebody, you're going the same direction they're going. Can I say that again? When you're following somebody, you're going the same direction they're going. There's a devotion involved in this thing. You say, what is the devotion, preacher? It's that, Miss Daniel, you come start playing softly. It's this, that we don't look at everybody else. We don't look at everybody else. I remember years ago, one of the first times I ever went to Pennsylvania, to the Amish country. We was on a big old Greyhound bus with a bunch of senior citizens from Turner's Creek. And we was going, Brother Matt, and they was working in that field, had them horses out there and the mules out there. Brother Ramsey, I looked at Daddy and I said, what's those things on its eyes? I said, why they got them things over its eyes? And Daddy said this. Brother Lloyd, he said, they're blinders. And I said, why they need to be blind? They need to see where they're going. He said they can see where they're going. They just can't see everything else around them. He said the object is it don't matter what's happening around them. They can only see what's in front of them and the work that's in front of them. Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to devote yourself to this Word and let this Word be your blinder. Can you tell you why I do what I do? Because He called me to do it. And because He gives me the health to do it. I do it for Him. I don't do it for you. I'm sorry, I hope I just didn't burst your bubble. I don't pastor this church for you. I don't stand this morning and preach for you. You say, well, that's what you pay. That's what we pay you to do is preach. No, you've never paid me to preach. You pay me to look after the business side of the church. That's what you pay me to do. But serving you, I don't get a paycheck for that. That's what God called me to do. And I don't do it for you. I don't pastor the church today because in July of 2006, 21 people voted me in as pastor. I could have said no and walked away. I can get done preaching today and resign and walk away. I do it because God called me to do it. It's a calling on my life. And as good as He's been to me, as much as He's blessed me, as good as He's been to you, as much as He's blessed you. Say, preacher, it's hard right now. As good as He's been to you, and as much as He's blessed you. Preacher, I'm in the storm right now. As good as He's been to you, as much as He's blessed you. Are you hearing me? Miss Vicki can sit there this morning in the house of God. Brother Fred and Miss Beverly can sit back there this morning in the house of God. There is no other excuses. I needed about six amens and I'd have quit preaching. There is no other excuses. When I look at Him, and I look at what He went through, and I look at the pain and the agony that He suffered, I've never saw a bad day. I've never had a bad day compared to what Jesus went through. And I look at everything that He went through, and I look at the way that He loves me, and the way He cares for me, and the way He forgives me. When I mess up, He's faithful and just. When I miss the mark, He's faithful and just. When I miss the mark and I go back to Him and I say, God, I'm sorry, thank God He's faithful and just. When the days are dark, He's my light. Hey, hey, when it's dark, He's a bright morning star. Amen. When I'm in the valley, He's the lily in the valley. He's the bright morning star. He's the one that's altogether lovely. When I look at Him, the least thing I can do, the least thing I can do is pile up in an altar and say, God, as for me, number one, and as for my house, we're going to serve You. We're going to live for You. God, we're going to do everything we can do. I really believe in all of my heart. I believe with all of my heart, a lot of you in this room will be together in heaven one day. I believe that. Why don't you hear what I'm fixing to say to you? There's more to it than that. Do you hear what I just said? There's more to it than that. There's a great judgment day coming. There's a great judgment day coming. And every one of us that's saved by the grace of God, it's going to stand in the presence of a holy God. We're going to be judged, and I've already said this, not off of our sin, but off of our service. I'm not going to be judged for my sin. My sin's washed away by the blood of the Lamb, thank God. God's not going to hold me accountable for my sin, Brother Ramsey. Jesus paid that sin debt, thank God. But He is going to hold me accountable for what I've done for Him. And to whom much is given, much is required. There's been a lot given to us right here at Amazing Grace. Are you hearing me? Let me talk to the leaders again for just a second. To whom much is given, much is required. When you stand before God, you're going to give an account for why you done what you did and if you done it with your whole heart. There's a great judgment day coming. I want you not to just enjoy heaven. I want you to enjoy the trip on the way to heaven. And let me tell you, I've lived on both sides of this thing of being saved. And what I mean by that is not in complete surrenderance to God and in complete surrenderance to God. And the most miserable I've ever been in my life was when I was not in surrenderance to God. But I'm going to tell you, when you find your place before Him, you say, God, help me to put the blinders on and forget about everybody else. If you serve God, you're going to make some people mad. When you tell the family on Sunday night, I'm going to church. When you tell them on Sunday morning, dinner will have to be at 2 instead of 1 because I'm going to the house of God. Let him deny himself. We push ourselves to the side. We bow on an altar and we say, God, here's my life. I've said this before. I'm right now done. It's just 12 o'clock. I've said this before. If you're a man sitting in this room and you fit the qualifications for a preacher, I'm not telling you to start preaching, but I'm telling you you should surrender to that if that's what God wants. Say, God, here's me. If you want me to be a preacher of the gospel, God, I don't know how I'll do it, but with your help, God, I'll do what you've called me to do. And if He does call you, my daddy said this. He said, if you become the president of the United States of America, you would take a step down from the calling God's placed on your life as a pastor and a preacher. What a calling that God would place on your life. You're to say, God, here's me. God, if you want me to preach, then God, I'll be more than willing. God, I'll take your word. God, you take this Bible. You show me that's what you want for my life. And God, that's what I'll do. Every couple ought to surrender to the mission field. Now, I'm not telling you to go, but we ought to surrender to it. My wife and on a regular basis surrenders to the mission field. I'm glad He's not made us go yet. You say, why'd you say yet? Because I don't know what tomorrow holds. I'm glad me and Brother McDaniel, it's going to preach tonight. We talked so long about that this week. I believe God's got to keep some pastors that's mission-minded in place to help get the missionary to the field. But I mean this with all of my heart. God being my witness standing before you today. God told me after service today to resign the church and go to the deepest, darkest jungle in the world and start a church. Then with the help of God, that's exactly, Brother Andy, what I would do. I just want His will. I'd be safer in the deepest, darkest jungle in the world in the will of God than I would be here out of the will of God. We just give Him everything. Everything. Father.